Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1.
Podcast.
FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kith. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
He's asking Lordstown, Ohio, to reopen a plant that has been closed.
Right. It was making the Chevy Cruze. The Chevy Cruze sales peaked in 2014, about 270,000 in America and in China. Last year, there were like 46,000 in China, about 140,000 in America. But they peaked in 2014. The company had pretty good visibility to see that something was wrong. We knew in the auto industry there was a major shift anyway happening from cars, particularly a car like the Cruze, to SUVs, to crossovers, to pickup trucks, those kind of things. So, you know, people who are there locally, the first thing they said in November 26 when the news was out was like, hey, this isn't the first time that General Motors has done this to us. And it's not the first time they've made this kind of announcement just a few weeks before Christmas. And this plant, by the way, had already cut hours in May of last year. They already cut one shift. So the writing had been on the wall. And in the meantime, we just got news that Toyota is going to invest $13 billion in America. And that Fiat is going to invest $4.5 billion in Detroit alone to create 6,500 jobs. So it's a bad look for General Motors right now.
Charles Payne reacting to the president and who is visiting Ohio. We have a suggestion that he could be speaking sometime this hour. If he does, we'll take you to it and hear what he has to say. He's really lobbying hard for this GM plant to figure something out.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people who are trying to really put their faith in the free market, I would be concerned about presidential pressure to do something that wasn't making good business sense. However, we have to ask ourselves why these companies are making these decisions, especially when car companies have really slowed down on making sedan vehicles. Like you drive a sedan.
Mm-hmm.
And Ford's not making.
They stopped. They discontinued any Ford Fusions, I believe, which is what mm-hmm. I drive.
And Tauruses. And mm-hmm. Taurus is like the most successful car.
Yeah.
That Ford and I've driven in my lifetime, two Tauruses. But these small cars, they're not selling. People aren't buying them. And you can't keep a plant open to continue to make cars that people don't want to buy so that you don't have to let go of workers. What you need to do is you need to figure out how to take what you're doing and innovate and expand in a way that benefits the business. Now, hopefully that means that nobody has to lose their jobs. I'm all for that. And I understand if the president is looking at this and saying, if all these people lose their work, and I'm talking about how great the economy is, how can both of those things be true? Well, we also have to make sure that we respect the free market principles of a business to make the decisions for themselves what works best. You know, there have been, I don't think it was GM was going to take some of the factories that they had that were making cars that they're not going to sell anymore and use them to make cars that they are going to sell more of. But the landscape is changing and the companies have to develop over the course of time. But the president has strong feelings about this. So as he is in Ohio, we can likely expect him to, you know, he's not really one to deliver it in a soft and palatable kind of way. It's going to come through very straightforward, and he'll champion his cause. And then the rest of us will have the ability to react. So stay tuned to 97.1. If it shows up here in the next hour, we're going to go to it and see what he has to say. He's visiting Ohio. Here in the state of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker continues to thump on his progressive income tax call, says this is the way forward for the state of Illinois, suggests that his progressive income tax and his rates that he's put forward, six different tax brackets, is what is going to lead Illinois in out of the depths of despair. Another Princess Bride reference. I need that. Depths of despair. depths of despair. What's it? The albino? What's his?
Oh, gosh.
Is he I think it's just the albino.
Oh, maybe it is. And then he's got this British accent. That's fantastic. As if the six income tax bracket progressive tax implementation is going to save the future of Illinois. That's what J.B. Pritzker says with a big smile on his face and says is going to be the savior for the state of Illinois. But Pritzker was just asked regarding these rates that are out there that people are consuming. Are these the rates that we're talking about? If I vote yes for the progressive income tax, are your rates the rates that are actually going to come into play?
Well, there's already room for change in your proposal, saying yes, it's only March, you're negotiating. Is there any kind of wiggle room with these rates, or is this exactly the way you'd like to see it passed?
Well, I put a proposal forward, and so this is the one that I, you know, think is best. But I understand that there are differing opinions that should come to the fore. You know, I'm somebody who believes that there are good ideas to be had anywhere, including among Republicans and Democrats. And so they should bring those forward. But I think folding your arms and saying, let's not do anything, that's the wrong answer.
What? What did you just say? We asked you if those rates had wiggle room. That was the question you were asked, and you answered, although you answered it in a long, very political way, where you said something about, you know, bipartisan harmony and liking what Democrats and Republicans have to say. Haven't really seen a whole lot of evidence of that. But yes, there is, in fact, wiggle room. And yes, in fact, these are the rates that he has proposed. That means that the rates could be tripled and quadrupled once it goes into law. These are just suggestions. It's a very, very imperative that Illinoisans understand how much latitude that the General Assembly will have if this progressive income tax is approved by voters, if and when it gets on the 2020 ballot, to change those rates and make them incredibly higher than they are right now. Here to give us some important details, research analyst for Illinois Policy Institute, Bryce Hill. Bryce, thanks for coming on the show today. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too.
So when we look at the way that J.B. Pritzker comes to his information, he presents it to the voters in the state of Illinois, he's got a lot of answers. He's got a lot of solutions. He's got a lot of things that are going to make all of our financial woes go away in the state of Illinois. The question is, how's he coming to a lot of these numbers that seem to solve some of these problems? Is there anything political involved in here, or is it just straight economical facts?
Well, I would say that his estimates for where the state's going to be in the future are completely political, and they're all based around selling his political agenda and getting his progressive income tax passed. So what he does is he makes some really dangerous assumptions and overly optimistic assumptions about, you know, the future of the Illinois economy, and he ultimately ends up overstating income growth in the state by up to $32 billion for the future, and then at the same time masks the true size of the budget deficit by up to another $1 billion. So ultimately what that means is he's making things seem better than they are, so he can promise a small tax cut to a lot of people and still generate new revenue, when in reality things are going to be much worse. And you know, as he said, he doesn't have any firm rates, and what that's going to ultimately mean is that the middle class is facing higher and higher taxes.
So if J.B. Pritzker puts forth this information, just like he said himself, that this is what he's proposed here, once it becomes law, if he is able to get the progressive income tax into law, and we find out, wow, this math that we were given in order to get a yes vote, this not really cutting it. We need a lot more money here. What happens then?
What happens then is that, you know, middle class taxpayers are going to likely be facing a tax hike. The General Assembly is going to then turn to taxpayers and say we need more money because we've spent it based on these estimates. So it's really unfortunate that the governor is misleading not only the general public, but members of the General Assembly who he's asking to vote for a progressive income tax with this really, really faulty math that has no basis in reality. So even though lawmakers or people think that this is going to be a tax cut for 97% of Illinoisans, it is absolutely not. The numbers simply do not work. They really just pull it out of thin air to sell this agenda.
So, and we've had some Metro East mayors here locally signing on to support the governor's proposals here. What do these mayors know that we don't? What are they thinking?
Well, they probably don't know anything that we don't. They've probably been told the same lies. They've probably been told that, you know, the future of Illinois is going to look really bright and that we're going to have a whole lot more money to raise taxes from than we actually are. And that means that we're going to be able to give a small tax cut in exchange for a progressive income tax that raises even more revenue than we get right now. So unfortunately, these numbers just, they don't work. The size of the budget deficit, like I said, is understated. Ultimately, what that means is that we're going to have to hike taxes even more because his future spending is based on all these rosy predictions.
Yeah, it's really shocking to consider the fact that the once this progressive income tax would be put into place, if it does get to the ballot where we all would have a say in it in 2020. Once those rates are, or once those tax brackets are created, those rates are subject to whatever the General Assembly wants to, you know, get through and get signed into law. That's a scary proposition for taxpayers already burned in the state of Illinois.
Absolutely, and as the governor himself said, you know, he's not married to those rates or those brackets. So, really, he's asking people to vote on a blank check. So we don't have any clue what actual rates or brackets are going to look like because nobody's actually introduced them into the legislature.
Yeah. Well, we're going to continue to watch this, and we appreciate Illinois Policy Institute's help regarding this issue. It's always great to have you on, Bryce. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Talk to you soon. On Twitter, at Illinois Policy, online at illinoispolicy.org. This is a huge trap, folks. It's a very frightening thing to think about. I know y'all in Missouri are saying, why are you staying there? Well, it's home, and it's home to a lot of people who listen here. It's very important to understand that there is something worth fighting for in the state of Illinois. But when it comes to this progressive income tax, Trojan horse, or things like HB 2495, which is up on our website right now at 971talk.com, but also easy to read and share on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Andy Fry Show. Please consider going there and reading that and contacting your representatives and sharing it. Please share. Truly need that to happen. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, some phone calls, 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. Hear a little bit more from these folks who are here to fix everything that's wrong with our Constitution and consequently our country. Kamala Harris, she's got something to say about it. Senator Warren, she's got something to say about it. Beto O'Rourke has something to say about it. It's all there. We're going to have it for you and your phone calls in just a minute. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What an appropriate song. All right. I was talking a little bit before about Ted Koppel and his criticism of journalism today. Brit Hume responded, and I love Brit Hume. I think Brit Hume is incredibly wise, incredibly experienced, and also not out for anybody's specific...
because he's been eating a lot of dirt.
Regenerative dirt. That's the Beto dirt. If you didn't hear earlier, we were interviewing Kelly Hansen, who's the lead singer Foreigner. Probably not something you expected me to say on this show, but it was really cool. He was really great. And they donated all the proceeds of their song, I Want to Know What Love Is, to help the Shriners Hospitals for Children. So that was an awesome opportunity to talk to him. We're talking about helping children, helping sick kids, and how Kelly Hansen is doing all this. And in the middle of the interview on the television, it says, Beto eats dirt with regenerative powers. And at that point, I wanted to just leave. Like, I can't do this anymore. I don't know how to react to Beto eating regenerative dirt with powers. What kind of powers?
Recently.
Yeah, like in the last 6 months.
Not like a college thing.
This isn't something that, you know, like, I wouldn't let my 9-year-old eat dirt that he thought was going to have regenerative powers.
And then he brought, and then he put a bunch in a bag and brought it home for his family to eat.
Yes. This man wants to lead the free world. Anyway, Britt Hume.
Jared comes home.
My Jared.
You're Jared, your husband. Comes home from a business trip. There's a teacher's conference in New Mexico, and he goes and attends. And he comes home, and he says, he's holding a freezer bag full of dirt. And he says, this is super dirt from New Mexico, and if you eat it, it gives you superpowers. I ate some. I feel like $1 million. And then he puts it on your plate and your children's plates. What? Are you guys eating the dirt?
No.
No.
No. And I'm going to have Jared medically examined. That's nuts. And even stupider is if you eat dirt, why do people know about this?
Yep.
Keep that stuff secret. That's the stuff that the Oppo research is supposed to find. Not be like, yeah, I ate dirt, had regenerative powers, man, it was cool, and you know, I'm born to do this, and I'm born to eat dirt, and I just want to help everybody.
I'm a rock band, I hate shoes.
I like to move my arms, it's good for calisthenics, and I burn a lot of calories.
Jumping on tables, it's all about me. It's me.
I also saw,
sorry,
was it Kirsten Gillibrand was videoing herself working out or something? I don't care. I don't want to know that you're a normal person. I don't care if you are a normal person.
Does that make you a normal
person? She just came out and had a video too. Someone was taping her at some bar doing the same type of thing.
Standing
that
on a chair.
I am sick of it. Stop.
I can stand on a chair too.
Tony, I'm going to need you to do the rest of the show standing on the counter. You're going to have to duck. You don't enough. It's bizarre. You go to a bar, and the Democrats that are running for the presidency, they want socialism, they want free healthcare, they want free education, they want the most frustrating part about that being that obviously none of it is free. I'm for free everything too. Anything that we can get for free, let's do that. Let's give everybody everything we can give them for free. Okay, now that that actually equals nothing, let's talk about what it's actually going to cost. So let's not bait and switch people on these fantasy land ideologies about things being a right. If you know, your right is not going to cost me money if it's a right. It just is. But we have to find out how relatable all these people are. This is what I kind of super appreciate Donald Trump for. Other than Twitter, what has Donald Trump ever done since he's become president to feel relatable?
I think he just is. Don't think he has to do anything.
He's
what the definition of relatable is.
Fact. And you know, you remember, President Obama would do some of those kitschy videos, which I wasn't opposed to. They entertain me. I'm not saying like the existence of them is bad, but I'm saying that what you're getting from the Democrats running for president is they're trying to appear as normal and average as possible. And Donald Trump is the antithesis of that.
I'm going to have a beer. I do this every night here.
Clearly.
In this kitchen. I have myself
I'm
going to have a beer.
I think something that they're trying really hard to accomplish too is that Donald Trump got so many people involved when he was running for presidency. So many people just followed what he was doing because he was naturally Donald Trump. Everybody is trying to strive to be that. You can't be.
Yeah, completely. Al, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Annie. First from last week, I never intended to
challenge your opinion on something.
Oh, that's fine. Thanks for still being here, Al. That's fine.
I'll be here. I can disagree with you without being disagreeable, I hope.
Sure.
But anyway, don't we all eat some form of dirt? I know I do.
I've never eaten dirt.
You get all the dirt off of your vegetables when you wash them?
If you're going to call in here and suggest that any residual dirt on my produce is the same as going to Mexico
digging it out
to
of the
eat
ground.
Dirt because it has, quote, regenerative powers, I don't have anything.
How much of it is harmful to us? How much dirt are we allowed?
My husband says God made dirt and dirt don't hurt. Now, that I would put the regenerative powers in that sense in God, not in the dirt that I found in a different country. The idea that Beto O'Rourke, sorry if I said that wrong,
you
wants
did good.
I did thanks wants to acid, eat dirt,
acid, dust to dust.
There, that's what's even more disconcerting.
What's wrong with a little dirt? Look, you eat peanut butter, don't you?
I do. Tony was eating it off of a spoon in like 30 minutes ago.
It has a certain amount of rat poop in it.
Oh, my
gosh. You
going
to stop eating it?
Al, we're not even arguing about anything important. This is the worst call ever.
But I'm not
going to
go dig the dirt up and put it in a bag and eat just the dirt.
Well, you know what? Somebody might start that, and you know how people are. It may become a fad.
You know what? If it truly is super dirt, I might I might look into it.
Al, are you eating dirt on purpose?
I try to wash most of it off, but I'm sure I get my supply of dirt like everybody else.
Al, super dirt.
Thanks for calling the show.
Have a good day.
Bye. It's a weird day.
Super dirt.
It's a weird day. Hold on. I have to read this. Talk about something. What is the difference in color?
Hey, don't forget to go and submit.
Hey!
Talk about something.
Your dirt.
Submit your questions for Annie. 20 questions with Tony.
Did
That's
you see
me.
My question?
I wrote it down. Anything you've ever wanted to ask Annie, whether it be silly or serious, send it to me. You can tweet it to me. You can email it to me. You can mail it to me. However, you can just tell me if you see me. Anyway, you can give me the questions. We are going to probably next week sit down, long form interview, ask Annie all the questions that you wanted to answered.
Have you gotten any yet?
I have. Keep them coming. Send me the questions.
Any good ones?
I can't tell you that.
Give
you
me
don't
an ex-
get to see any
okay.
questions before.
So hypothetically
you can
speaking,
send a, you can ask Annie something about a very serious topic like abortion, or you could ask something
in
like
in case
what's
they
your,
don't know where I stand on that.
What's your
one.
Favorite color? Like any it, again, we did this a couple times last year, and then we had all the changes here at the radio station, and the project sort of got derailed. But we're good. Getting
do I
back
get
on
to
track.
Like I do I get to opt out? No.
I mean, like, you can. I'm not going to force you to do anything. I mean, you already said
so,
you
is there
do
a
it,
trap so door or something?
Kind of be rude.
Give me an example of a question that maybe was asked to Mark Cox or to somebody else, if you can think of.
Seriously, as silly as, you know, what's your favorite color, asking about types of music, to asking very serious questions about topics.
They want to know the real Annie.
Yeah, it's all over the
real
place. And that's
you're
the,
all going to be
and that's
sorely
the beauty
disappointed
of it.
And bored.
So tweet me at TonyColombo971. Email me. My email's on the website, 971talk.com.
Can we do it this way? Can we have the questions asked about me at TonyColombo971 and Katie answers them for me? That would be so much more entertaining.
No, because maybe one day down the road we'll do 20 questions and it'll be a Katie.
Katie.
That'll be a...
I'm a boring person, right?
You're not boring.
I don't think so.
You're not boring, but
you said that like there. Yeah, not, you said you're not boring.
No, you're not boring.
Big butt.
Big butt.
As Donald Trump says, there's going to be a big butt coming.
Big butt.
You like to stay at home and spend quality time with your family. That's not boring to me. That's like hanging out with that family, yo.
You can respect it and still acknowledge that it sounds
laid
pretty
back.
You can ask Annie questions about her philosophy on being a mom.
Hmm.
Anything. That's the beauty of this.
I have my son in something called ABC. Have I talked about this?
I don't think so.
Attitude Boot Camp. The theory is...
We could probably all use a little Attitude Boot
Camp.
Yes,
we could. I'm trying to create an adult that doesn't need to be an Attitude Boot Camp.
There you go.
While he's 9.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, all my kids are, but he's the oldest, so that's just the way it goes. Attitude Boot Camp, It's like, here are the rules. I will never, ever yell at you as long as you do what I ask you the first time.
Mm-hmm. That is a good rule.
This is all happy and pleasant. I will politely ask you to take your shoes and put them up in your closet, or go turn off the television and come up for dinner. I will ask you one time politely, and you have one time to do it. And then after that, if negotiations start, you need to understand that there is no negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because we weren't enforcing that as a delinquent parent, which we all are from time to time, I suppose. What your kids do and get away with is really, as a parent, your fault for allowing that to happen. Am I right? I mean, like when you...
I think that's 100% correct.
When you're looking at these kids... A lot of it for me comes from being around youth sports for so long, pretty much my whole life since I was in youth sports as a youth. The difference between kids who understand the idea of respect, just in general respect. I was listening to the Glover Show on the way home last night, and you guys were talking about that idea of like have my daughter home by 10, and that the fact that you just had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way to like check in and look. And, you know, I even said out loud in my car by myself, it's respect.
It is.
Because when your girlfriend's father says have her home by 10, the only reason you have her home by 9:55 is because you respect that authority.
And have a little bit of fear.
Yes.
You know, a little bit of fear.
Respect and fear can go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. And I don't think that there are many things being set up in our children's lives anymore with the constant communication where, you know, like the Bible says, let your yes be yes. That's where, you know, you're not supposed to have to invoke in like, I swear, I promise. Well, why, if your word is your word, mm-hmm. that should be enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be, you know, in grown-up relationships, that can be a little bit different. But with my kids, if I say, go do this, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And my philosophy on that is, like, I bring the heat on time, too. But my kids learned very, very quickly, just do it the first time. And then I love twice as hard as I discipline. And mm-hmm. I'm not always great at it, but that is the philosophy. And my parental philosophy, and probably my professional philosophy, is good effort, try again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can really do.
And I think the culture for parenting, and I mean, obviously, I'm not a parent, but I believe that the culture of parenting has shifted from whenever I was growing up that a parent was a parent. Now parents want to be very desperately a friend.
Yeah.
And that just shouldn't happen until we're older.
Yeah. I think that you can almost result in a friendship with your parents and be kind of surprised.
Yes.
When that happens. Like, mm-hmm. wow.
Pleasantly surprised.
This is cool and this is different. I have experienced being friends with people when I was young who were best friends. My mom's my best friend. And that doesn't always work out well. Sometimes it's fine. And you know, if you think you're best friends with your daughter, your daughter's best friends with you, okay. That can work. It's case by case. But chances are, in order for it to work really well, your kid has to know first and foremost that you're not their friend. You're their mother. And nothing is better than that.
I'm the boss.
Nothing.
I'm the boss.
Nothing is more important than that. So Attitude Boot Camp. Or as we call it publicly, just to remind our child without having to tell everyone, which I just told the Greater St. Louis region, ABC. And it's worked well. And my kid knows. I sat him down and I said, listen, this is how this is going to go from now on, because I'm tired of negotiating the return of your shoes to the proper location every time I ask you to do it. I'm going to ask you one time and you can go do it and we'll all be happy. Or you can argue with me. But just know,
I'm the boss.
Always. Forever. And they're doing very well in it. So Attitude Boot Camp, there you go. I'm probably going to get a call from like some child protective services now for daring to discipline my child.
No.
Just call us 314-241-9797. We'll have a public conversation about it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. The president speaking in Lima, Ohio. It's Lima, isn't it? Lima. Lima. Anybody? Lima? Ohio?
Lima. That's what I would go with. It's my understanding.
The survey says
Lima. He's talking about John McCain again.
And the other thing is we're in a war in the Middle East that McCain pushed so hard. He was calling Bush, President Bush, all the time, get into the Middle East, get into the Middle East. So now we're into that war for $7 trillion. Thousands and thousands of our people have been killed, millions of people overall. And frankly, we're straightening it out now, but it's been a disaster for our country. We've spent tremendous wealth, and tremendous lives in that war. And what do we have? It's worse than it was 19 years ago. I call them the endless wars. 19 years ago when we started. So John McCain left it.
That's President Trump still talking about John McCain. That's not going to go away. So I know people are wanting him to do that, but yeah. L-I-M Lima. I'm getting messages on how to say this. Lima. I don't know. Well, let's just not talk about it anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm also on Facebook getting some messages from folks like Jackie, who is passionate about the fight to help defend the unborn, and listening to us at the beginning of the show and talking with State Representative Darren Bailey. This HB2495, you have to know about it. If you didn't hear us talking about it, go on to 971talk.com/Annie. See our post there. It's been shared to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. Please consider liking the page if you haven't yet, and share that information and contact your representative. You can't just read about it and be enraged. You have to do something about it. And we've tried to make it as easy as we can for you. I'm going to get to some phone calls here before we wrap it up. Robert, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, yes, hello.
Hi, Robert.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. I'm a fairly new listener to your show, and I appreciate what you guys talk about.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here.
Yeah. So I just, regarding the kids, you know, on the ABC, your attitude boot camp and whatnot, I'm just a very firm believer that, you know, parenting is a huge responsibility and it takes a lot of work. And the responsibility is to cultivate and mold and develop a child to become a respectful, productive citizen as opposed to a drain on society. And, you know, I think if more people looked at rearing their children as such, you know, to be responsible, disciplined, passionate, good students, not taking anything for granted. And, you know, you made a great point about loving on them twice as hard. And so I'm very proud of my children. I tell them I'm proud of them all the time. They're great students. They're athletic. They're musical. And that's really all to their credit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just very important that children understand the boundaries. And like you said, I'll tell you once, and then I'm going to start yelling. But the other part of that is consequences. They need to know where those lines are, and they need to know that the consequences are real. And really, unfortunately, the only way they really know that is for you to actually deliver on something that happens so that they know that there are really consequences to their actions.
Isn't it?
And I think that's how they learn to become productive, useful citizens.
I so agree with you, Robert. And isn't it important, you know, you I'm glad that you heard me say loving on them twice as hard, because none of it matters if you don't do that. That's the most key component. But when people want to create and establish these friendships with their kids, friends are always going to tell you, you know, good friends will tell you what you need to hear. But most of the time, they're there to make you feel good. They're there to help you through. Parents are there to do the thing that is extra hard. The important component of parenting children into becoming respectable adults, the part that's extra for parents is the hardest part. And that's being the thing that's going to teach them about the world before the world teaches them about the world. And it's not easy.
Right. And you really do your kids a dishonest service if you don't. I mean, and like you say, they become better for it. And my job is not to be their buddy or their friend. I mean, my kids will, I said to them younger, in their younger days, I said, look, there will come a time when you won't like me. There will come a time when you will even hate me.
Yeah.
But I just want you to know
that I will always love you.
Yes.
And so as you continue to love on them and hug them, I mean, I hug my kids every day. I tell them I love them as much as possible. But they also know there are things they can't do, and there are lines that they can't cross, and they need to be responsible to for their behavior and their actions.
Are your kids young, Robert? Are they older?
Well, two of them, I got twin boys. They just turned 16 and both got their driver's license.
Are they going to vote?
Another, well, yeah. Well, they're smart enough to vote the right way, but I don't think that's appropriate.
Yeah, you're a good parent, Robert. Thank you. We appreciate you listening. Welcome to the show.
We
appreciate you being out there. I love hearing new listeners joining the show. Real quick, Mary, I wanted to get you in here. Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that maybe with any amount of luck, the dirt will be the new Kool-Aid. And I
dirt.
Think the governor of Illinois should have some.
Oh, man. Mary, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. There are a lot of Kool-Aid drinkers out there. And this, you know, the way the left is pushing things. I've got all this sound here about the Electoral College. But it's I want to say that if the Democrats are this concerned about changing the very foundation with which our country is established upon, the makeup of the government, of our rule of law and how we enforce it and how we protect it, they must be pretty frightened by Donald Trump and by the people who support him. They must feel pretty threatened about it. And I know that it might seem like they feel as though their message must be much more expansive than it actually is. Well, that's because when you have the media and the and Hollywood and the education system all backing you up every time you turn around saying something crazy and socialistic, you might get a little disingenuously persuaded to think that your message has more support than it does. You got to support this president, and you got to call him out when you need to call him out. But it's not a zero-sum game. So we're going to continue to do that noon to three here. Stay tuned. The Dave Glover Show is coming up. Check our podcast out at radio.com and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.